back to Twice Upon a Time. This time, Roger and I watched Season 5, Episode 4, The Broken Kingdom.
As always, we'll start off with a synopsis.
In Camelot of the past, Arthur is obsessed with finding the Dark One dagger to make Excalibur whole again. Guinevere, tired of being pushed aside, goes after the dagger with Lancelot. They find it, but encounter Rumpelstiltskin, who won't give them the dagger, but offers them the Sands of Avalon in exchange for Merlin's gauntlet. Despite sharing a kiss with Lancelot, Guinevere wants to stay with Arthur, and Lancelot leaves. Guinevere can't bring herself to use the sands on Excalibur and lie to Arthur, and instead gives Arthur a choice. He chooses his obsession and takes the sands from her, using them on her to repair their broken marriage and his people to prepare his broken kingdom. In Camelot of 6 weeks ago, Snow and Charming argue about who to trust, Arthur or Lancelot. They set up a gambit to discover their true allies. Lancelot truly wishes to help, but Arthur wants to use the dagger to force Emma to reforge Excalibur, kill Merlin, and then destroy the darkness. Despite the dagger being fake, Guinevere shows up with more sand and uses it on Snow and Charming, who now try to convince Regina to give the dagger to Arthur. Roger, what did you think of this episode?
Not so much. Too much sand.
Too much sand, not enough murder plot.
Yes. Too much time jumping.
Yeah.
I don't...
Don't even get me started on the timeline of this episode.
I'm fine with Camelot of the past. I'm fine with Camelot of the present. The rest I don't need. I just really want to stay in two locales. It's pretty much my consistent complaint. I don't like the flash forward 6 weeks so we can do the 6 weeks back flashback. I hate that shit. I know Lost does it a lot. I cannot stand that. I think there are good parts of this episode. Like, I don't think it's completely terrible, but there's parts of it I think are really terrible.
Yeah, this episode was... I like that there's more Snow and Charming in this episode, and there were some funny parts of this episode. I like some of the story here. I thought the background on Arthur was interesting, but there's definitely some stuff that, like, doesn't work in this episode. In the timeline, it's just incredibly confusing.
It's too much. It's like years in the past, then 5 years ago, then we're really far in the past.
But also, is it 5 years ago? Because it apparently was before the Storybrooke curse.
Well, I mean, because you've mentioned how we don't really know how much time passes in seasons. 5 years ago could be before season one.
But if it was before season one, Rumpelstiltskin was in Storybrooke under a curse.
So it was all the way before the curse.
So 35 years ago. I don't get it. Apparently we're meant to not think about that.
You know, this is the flaw of doing a 28-year curse. Like, I feel like just a good, solid 10-year curse would have been fine. Roughly the age of Henry.
Yeah. But then Emma wouldn't be 28 years old.
Emma wouldn't exist. There's no room for a savior in my world.
I see.
Yeah.
I did like, I thought Arthur was interesting in this episode.
He's a compelling villain. I agree.
I mean, he clearly, it was interesting to watch how his, like, relationship with Merlin has warped. It would be interesting to see them interacting, even though Merlin is the tree. Because he tells Snow and Lancelot that he wants to kill Merlin.
Run him through.
Because I think he feels like he was told a prophecy that you will pull the sword from the stone and become the king of Camelot. And what he got was a broken sword. And he is the king of Camelot. People believe him. He could just be the king, but he's obsessed with making that sword whole.
Yeah, but it's a fake, though. Like, you've talked about this before. Like, why would people be obsessed with something that they know isn't real? He's actually obsessed with the fact that it's not real.
Right, I understand that. But, like, it doesn't actually matter that it's not real. He doesn't need the sword to continue to be king. Like, if they follow him, they follow him.
Yeah, but I think if you've been told since you were a little boy that they will follow you because you have the sword, and then the reason the following is because they believe you have the sword, you are essentially playing a shell game that eventually you expect you're going to get figured out.
Yeah.
And would they lead him for him, or would they lead him, are they following him because they believe he is truly the king, or because they believe the prophecy?
But it's kind of a vicious cycle, because by becoming obsessed with this prophecy, he's not actually leading his kingdom.
Of course.
So everything is terrible.
Which is why he hates Merlin.
Yes.
And also, it is also the thing that is costing him his marriage. I thought it was interesting to see him obsessed, because it's kind of, we've seen Rumple descend this way, we've seen Neil descend this way, like that kind of obsession, Hook has descended this way, where like that singular obsession with a thing, Emma in some ways is descending. Like, he's so obsessed with finding it that it's just so focused, even on his wife's birthday, he's like, I don't care. I've got to leave. It's a day's ride from here, because everything's a day's ride.
Of course it is. We got one in this episode.
It's this season. Like, I think the confusion is based on this season seems to use that phrase every episode now. I think he's actually doing, I really like the actor. I think he's doing a good job. He doesn't feel virtuous in the way that I expected Arthur to feel. Like, he feels broken, like a broken king, quite honest. And I think it's interesting. Lancelot definitely felt shady in this episode. Like, I thought he was lying to Snow. 100%. The Charmings with their plot, I thought was really good. I thought that whole deception was really good. But then they're like, it's like they got dumb at the end. It was they were really, really smart until they got to Granny's Diner, and then they were fucking stupid.
Yeah, they like didn't, like, why would they go to a place where they could easily be found
and
then not guard yourself?
And also, like, okay, they surrounded the kingdom. Emma, fix this.
They don't have the dagger.
Oh, because
Regina has it.
That's stupid! Bring Regina with you! Magical backup. She could probably beat all of this.
With you for this whole situation, but to the place, like, meet her.
Like, yeah, place. Now you need to all be... Or, like, if you're going to do this, you need to be bringing one of Emma or Regina.
Yes, magical backup. It's important. I thought
he
that
gives it to her. He just like lets her take it.
He's so shocked to see her, and like the way that she's behaving.
But he knows she's alive.
Yeah, I don't know why he was so shocked to see her. I think maybe he assumed that like if Arthur is being so shady, Guinevere can't possibly be participating, so she must not be here. I don't know.
Sure.
I did like the scene with Lancelot and Guinevere in the weird jungle room.
I did not recognize that as the place that Snow and Charming had seen in the tree.
I mean, the place where the dagger is, no. I think that they, like, recognize the foliage.
Well, no, she says, I've been here before.
Yeah.
So it's apparently the same place as apparently. The vision.
Was
Merlin the tree that gave them answers?
No. Oh. Merlin was not the tree that now we know how Rumple got the gauntlet, even though the time is weird.
I don't know that we know. I think we've just been told, and I'm still confused.
Yep. But I did, when he says, she's like, why would you help us? Because I know what happens when a woman's heart is torn between duty and desire, and believe me, it never ends well.
You think he's referencing Mila?
I do.
Huh.
Like, I don't
think she was torn.
I think that's a fair assessment. But I think that he might be alluding to maybe there would have been something that we could have worked out that wasn't the situation that we're in. But you're right, she just straight up leaves.
I actually wonder.
I don't know that she feels duty to him to Balefire.
Yeah, I don't think she feels duty. I know she doesn't feel duty to Rumple. I don't think she feels. I thought about it more, and he could be referencing Bal.
Yeah, he could. He could.
And it makes more sense for Rumple to be saddened by the way that he thinks Bal's life ended than Mila's. And she did feel like she had a duty to protect the kingdom. That's why she comes with him. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, the reason that he thinks she dies is because she... So, Bal probably is the reference person, but it could fit Mila.
Or both.
Yeah, it could just be the women in his life in general.
I've experienced this before.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because the Bell part doesn't fit the leaving for another man, whereas Mila does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting, like, Guinevere and Lancelot absolutely kissed, and they definitely share feelings, but nothing else happens here.
I mean, why did she kiss him, though? That's what I was
thinking. I think she loves him.
Oh.
I mean, he pays attention to her. He's the one that planned her birthday party. Like, she like never even gets to talk to Arthur. He just ignores her all the time. But she does love Arthur, or did when she was younger, and wants, that's why she stays and Lancelot leave. And I also think that's why she doesn't use the sands, because she doesn't want to trick him. She wants him to choose. She wants to be chosen.
That's always a bad story. Never compelling. Never compelling. Yeah, okay. That adds up, though. I don't love Guinevere in this episode.
I don't know that I don't... I like she's, like, kind of a badass in this episode, I guess.
I didn't.
When they go to get the dagger, like, she pulls out a sword, she chases away darkness.
That was illogical to me. Why the fuck is darkness afraid of fire?
I don't know why there's darkness here. Because, like, the darkness is in Rumple, so, like...
Well, no, because Rumple is there, though.
Right, but, like, Rumple is the Dark One. Yeah. This is not the same darkness that was attacking Regina that made Emma the Dark One, because, like, that darkness came out of Rumple's body, and Rumple is here.
Yeah.
So I don't know why there's, like, floating darkness.
Maybe that is the way it works. There's just darkness everywhere. Like, we don't know that all of the darkness...
Smoke monster.
Because there's darkness covering the vault, because it oozes out, and I thought someone was going to pop up.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about.
Yeah, I did not like the, that's one of the things I put in dislike, like, darkness should not be chased off, like, it wouldn't venom, like, wouldn't, the flame torch. Yeah, that was not the greatest.
I also thought it was interesting when Guinevere and Arthur were arguing, at the end, like right before he uses the sand on her
in the tower. Okay.
Yeah. She says you have to make a choice. Stop trying to mend that sword, or your marriage and your kingdom forever. And she's not wrong. Like he's not doing anything.
I mean, she's wrong in that I think the sword will mend his kingdom, but it will. I think the statement should have been you need to choose between your kingdom and your marriage.
Yeah. It also I think would have been more compelling if they like knew more about the Dark One and saw Rumpled, like because she sort of was just like, we can't get the dagger. But, like, obviously we know they can't get the dagger, but, like, I don't know that they know that.
So they didn't say they know tales about him.
That's true. But she says if he chooses to continue trying to make the sword whole, she's going to fall, go where her heart truly belongs. And she seems surprised when he says to Lancelot. So I, like, wasn't really sure what she was referring to.
Everyone knew it was Lancelot.
She looks surprised.
That he knows. The shock is that, how did you know? Not that that is the correct answer.
All right.
I also think that, like, I disagree with the nothing happened, because you're right, like, they don't do anything further, but, like, we talk about, I know the affair's not a big deal to you, but, like, emotional affair. I mean, that's what you said. Emotional affair is a big thing, and, like, her heart has now been split between two people, which is a big deal. Like,
yeah.
That is not a good thing.
It's not. I mean, she made a choice, though.
She did.
I don't know, like, I feel like she's also now choosing...
But it seems like a choice out of obligation, not a choice of, like, I want...
It would have been more compelling if she told him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I chose... But I just, yeah, I don't love the love triangle thing that they force on us every single
time. At least this is, like, a real love triangle that has existed throughout time.
Yeah.
They didn't just make it up.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, like, the problem with this is that, like, Arthur is the villain, but, like, Lancelot does a pretty shitty thing. So, like, I see it. His anger isn't, like, entirely wrong here. But Arthur's still the bad guy. And Guinevere's a caught in the middle.
Well, it's interesting to me, too. Like, I know, I understand what you're saying about, like, he can't pretend that the sword is whole, but he also seems fine just, like, tricking her and, like, cursing her into loving him.
Yeah, but that kind of makes sense, though. Like, he's already lost her, so what's the deal?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
And maybe, I guess in his head, he's probably like, I only need this until I make the sword whole, and then she'll love me anyway. Yeah.
Oh, I'll have everything I was destined to have, regardless, as long as I get it. And I think that's the problem, is that, like, he is... The sword is the... will be his salvation.
Yeah.
And it's turned into an obsession. I mean, the scene where he's in the hut, just, he looks like Jefferson, where he's got all of these, like, books, and he's like, I went through 14 different languages. And I was like, first off, he's really smart.
He's very smart.
That's impressive. But what the fuck? Yeah, that was wild. Yeah.
Well, and interesting in this version of the story that he truly is just a peasant.
Yeah.
Like, I know we talked about that last time, but, like, in most stories, he's, like, either the bastard, he's the bastard child of the king.
Yeah.
And even not even like a uber bastard, he like it's the king and the queen's child just before they were married.
Just live with them is like a shameful thing.
Well, shameful, and he's in danger.
Okay.
But
yeah, I do like that he came from nothing, and but then the reason that he feels that he is destined is because a tree reached out to him and told him.
Yeah, told him a prophecy.
Like, I'm not a sorcerer, but I feel like if I was gonna, like, burden someone with this, I would wait till they're a little bit older than that. Like, maybe I'd tell you when you're like, hey, you're 16, you're about to be a man. I got some news for you.
Apparently, this is how Merlin operates. He can only appear to children. We saw him appear to Emma at the movie theater. Freaky. And tell her a really, really cryptic thing that 6-year-old Emma or whatever could not possibly understand.
And apparently we have to put an undue burden on children. Like, yeah. That's just the rule of the show.
You have to be brave, truthful, and unselfish. Or otherwise you turn into wood.
Like, at least, you know what's fucked up about this? King George is probably the only one who does it right, where he puts an undue burden on grown Charming. Everybody else does it to children.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that is really interesting is Arthur, because we had talked about before, we were like, weren't sure what his motives were.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that when he was talking to Lancelot and Snow right before he finds out that he's been tricked, that he wasn't lying, like he was telling them the truth.
I think he's 100% telling
the truth. Because he said he wanted to murder Merlin, which is not a thing that you would just say casually.
I don't know, Cora did.
And then after that he says, and I want to destroy the darkness.
Yeah, I think those are both things.
So like he has, like he wants to do the right thing, he's just kind of like approaching it from like a really weird angle.
Yeah, right is an interesting...
But he wants to do it to hold his kingdom.
Yeah. I think what makes him compelling is that, like, I don't fundamentally disagree with his end game. It's the path that he's going is relatively fucked up.
Well, and I think at this point, the obsession, he thinks because he was told via prophecy that he's the most important thing. And he's, like, kind of forgetting about the kingdom.
I think it's all paths lead through me. Like, kings often fall into this trap. Like, what is good for me as king is good for the kingdom by default.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, to be honest, he was told by a magical tree that he's the king. You know, most kings throughout time have been told that they were selected by God to be placed on the throne. Yeah. So it's not really that different.
Their word is literally the word of God. Yeah. So I get it.
All right. Anything else on Camelot of the past?
Which past?
Anything before 6 weeks ago.
Because we have Camelot of the super past, young Camelot, essentially. Uh-huh. Then we have 6 weeks ago Camelot. Then we have, like, before then Camelot, but not, because there's, like, the more recent past Camelot where they've run into Rumple.
Yeah.
And then there's 6 weeks ago Camelot where our heroes have joined them, Camelot.
I'm ready to talk about 6 weeks ago Camelot. Do you have anything from before that?
Fair. Rumple being there, I think, makes no sense.
I don't even get it.
That just breaks everything. I don't like that. Don't do that. Really liked the vault. I thought the vault scene was great.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool to see the ooze. Yeah. Okay, I think I'm ready to move on to... Oh, I thought, actually, so a lot of times I don't love children actors. I thought Child Arthur really was good.
Yeah.
I thought he did a good job of, like, a boy who was being burdened by it, but he's like, this is my destiny.
I really liked when he recognized instantly that they were trying to trick him into pulling that sword out of those, like, pile of stone.
Yeah, they're mocking him.
Yeah.
Also,
Kay is a jerk. Sir Kay is a jerk. I feel less bad that he...
Wait, hold on. 100%. That guy, the guy who was bullying Arthur, became one of his knights?
Yeah, I guess.
No. Also, he got what he deserved. Oh, but that makes more sense, though. If he never believed in Arthur in the first place, it makes more sense that he believes that he was the rightful king of Camelot. Okay, yeah, motherfucker got what he deserved. Okay, 6 weeks ago, Camelot.
Okay, so Arthur tells Charming that Excalibur is broken. Apparently a thing that all of the knights know.
Which makes sense.
I mean, some of them saw him pull it, but not all. Oh, there was only like 3 people there.
But you would tell your trusted advisors.
And Arthur tells him he wants to reforge Excalibur to destroy the darkness, which...
I didn't do that.
Well, he's going to make Emma do it. The Dark One can reforge Excalibur, apparently. It seems like this is a thing that he's been told by Merlin.
Sure.
And I think that's, like, later, Snow and Charming, once they, like, figure out that Arthur is bad, they also say, like, it seems like this is still what we should do, but not for the reasons that Arthur wants us to do it. So that's interesting. They also explain away how Lancelot is alive. He outwitted Cora. Apparently he's a total badass.
Okay.
I don't get it.
Honestly, if that happened, much like I said with Hook outrunning a curse, I don't want to see it. Like, I believe that there's a way that you could play dead. Not that I believe that because she's a queen of hearts, but like body double something. Like, I need just a little, like, how did you trick Cora into staying alive? Because if I were Snow, my first thought would be, Cora doesn't leave survivors, so I don't trust you until you can prove to me that you tricked fucking Cora.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, you made a really excellent point, but, like, they don't really have good reason to trust either of these people.
No.
I actually, Snow and Charming arguing is kind of fun.
It's super fun when Regina's there.
She's just like, Jesus.
Well, the best part is that, like, normally it's them being all lovey-dovey, and Regina's like, ugh. And then when they're fighting, you can kind of see her smirking, like, there's no trouble in paradise over here. And then they ask her to leave. She's just like, okay. And then just poops away.
Well, also, like, if you think about it, both of these people are so fucking stubborn.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Could you imagine?
Oh. I honestly expected to cut there, and Regina was just going to be sitting there eating popcorn. Like, what is it like when... Because you probably don't see the Charmings argue much. But when they argue, oh, my God, they argue. Very stubborn. Like, they both basically, like, at one point I think Snow says, we are not doing this. And you can see Charming's face like, fuck you.
Yeah, because I like when he claps back something that she says about how Arthur is shady. And he says, and Cora said Lancelot was dead. You can't believe everything you hear.
Both, what I like about their argument is that they're both right and wrong. Like, there are valid points, and that's why I was like, the conclusion is neither one of these people should be trusted right now.
Did you buy that Charming was going behind Snow's back?
I 100% Charming said. Because that's the kind of stubborn move that Charming would make, where he's like, I'm going to fucking do it anyway. The only thing that gave me pause was that, because I think his point was correct in that, like, I'm not going to trust a guy who went after his man's wife. Like, of the relationship, I trust you less than I trust Arthur.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, yeah, I think I even wrote, like, he went behind her back. I was like, God damn, Sherman just doesn't give a fuck. And I was like, okay, that was a really good play. And I think he was able to convince Arthur very well.
Yeah, he definitely...
He played the fool, because Arthur's like, oh, he's looking for you in the wrong place. And I was like, boy, Arthur feels real smug right now.
Charming, like, later being like, you tried to trick me with a catchy title and a comfy chair.
Yeah. But what's funny, that's exactly what got Arthur.
Yeah.
It does make sense that one would... I said this about Rumpel, right? Like, the things that fool you, you assume can fool other people. I do like the Snow clapback line when she's like, oh, I see. You haven't seen a king in a while, and now you're a little starstruck. I was like, damn! Because we just don't really hear them throw insults at them. Like, it felt a little bit like Shattered Sight. Like, where they're really kind of lobbing bombs at each other.
Yeah.
But that was all real. And then they, like, I wish we got, like, a second flashback where they worked through it. Because that was fascinating.
Because it cut away. Like a Ocean's 11 style.
Yes.
Like, you show us the thing, but then you go backwards and show us how you did it.
For all the time jumping, I feel like they didn't jump to the right places. Yeah.
I also liked when they're like, oh, so the fight was fake? And Snow was like, oh, no, 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 no. The fight was real. Charming's like, very real. You can still see, like, you can still hear in their voices that they're, like, irritated.
Which, what I like about their relationship more than the other couples is that, like, it feels real.
Yeah.
Like, that is a real thing that, like, yeah, we worked through it. We're still kind of pissed off about it, but we got over it.
Yeah. Any other Arthur-related things that you would like to talk about here?
Well, the ending about the granny scene, essentially.
The granny scene.
That was... I like that Snow is like, why is Arthur quiet? But, like, he's back there smirking. Did no one notice that, like, it's like when the villain is captured, but they're really calm? That should give you pause.
Yeah, they're like, he's so quiet.
He's like, a mute. It's like, did no one consider that he might have a plan?
Well, and I also, like, what...
How did he signal them? He used a cell phone?
Did he know the whole time? No, he didn't know the whole time.
I wonder if he, either one of two things, either he actually did know the whole time, or he had a contingency plan. Because there's no other way that all of them should have gotten there. He may have actually known that they were tricking him the whole time. But he does seem like he's trying to call Emma, legitimately.
He does. Yeah, he definitely thought that she was going to show
and
him.
He thought he had the real dagger. Maybe he told Guinevere to follow him no matter what.
Yeah.
That actually sounds like the better plot.
Or, I mean, I guess we don't quite know how this, like, spell that they're under works.
So maybe she's compelled to fix whatever problem he's having?
Maybe. But if she doesn't know about it, how can she fix it?
But it would make more sense because she talked about Lancelot in a negative way. So maybe he told her Lancelot is back. And then, of course, now she put in a plan in action to, like, I need to make sure that Lancelot's no longer a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So that probably makes the most sense. So maybe what he was smirking about is, like, you don't realize that my other half is coming.
Yeah, and not that it would have been a lot for Snow and Charming to account for those the Sands of Avalon. Like, I don't know how they would have.
They would have.
There's no way they could have.
Lancelot should have accounted for that.
Yeah, because he saw it.
He knew.
Because I actually don't think that there's anything that they could have done that would have that they because they wouldn't have been able to get around his knights because they would do anything because they're under
his spell. They needed to go be with Emma or Richie.
Sure. But, like, they wouldn't have been able to, like, convince them that Arthur was bad.
No. They needed magical backup for this.
Yeah. So, yeah. Now Snow and Charming are under Arthur's spell. And Regina is rightfully very suspicious.
So, one I don't get about the same. Are you, like, do you have to give it a command? Because I feel like I never, all I hear is, like, we're going to fix this. But that's vague as shit. So what is it doing?
Yeah, it's supposed to fix what's broken. And in the, like...
The trust is broken?
With Guinevere, like, I understand that. Because, like, their marriage is broken, and now she,
like... Well, her love for him is what's broken, or her heart is broken, whatever.
And, like, I'm not quite, like, a broken kingdom. It, like, makes a castle appear.
And everyone seems to believe he's king now.
Yeah. Which they were following him before.
That's true.
Yeah.
But, like, now it's the Camelot of legend.
Yeah. But I'm not quite sure how it works on Snow and Charming.
Trust is what I'm getting.
Like, yeah, I guess.
Trust him inherently now.
Because I guess, like, it's making them think, like, we did the gambit, Lancelot was lying, and Arthur was telling the truth.
Yeah, your trust in me has been restored.
And Robin, I like how Robin accuses Regina. He's like, stop pacing, you're gonna, like, wear away the masonry. She says, you think I'm worried about Snow and Charming? They could outlive a cockroach. I want to know how their test went. I get anxious when I don't know who to hate.
I really like the line that Arthur hits the Charmings with when he says, you're not the only couple whose hearts beat at one. Especially because it's way more literal for the Charmings.
Totally.
Yeah.
Regina also, they like ask her for the dagger and she's like, what the fuck, guys? I just spent all day hiding it. You're being weird.
Oh, you know one thing we actually haven't talked about yet? The Emma scene.
Yeah. Can
you go to that next?
Sure. Well, there's a Yeah, so they find her. So her thing is she makes dream catchers instead of spinning.
Is that what she's doing?
Yeah, she's making
dream catchers. She's like cutting a stick. I didn't know.
Yeah, so she's making like the outside of the dream catcher and then she like weaves the center.
That's her spinning strong to gold.
Yes.
Ruffles is much more better for his economy.
Yeah. I mean, it also, although it is personal, like spinning straw is personal to Rumble as well. And dream catchers are personal to Emma.
Because of
Neil. Because of Neil.
But he just spins it into gold. Did he know how to do that before he was a Dark One?
No. He just knew how to spin.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the touch of gold, I think that is.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Emma, I guess I didn't realize that nobody knew that she's seeing Rumpelstiltskin until this episode.
I mean, I knew that when they're all in the tower when Robin gets hit by something. Mm-hmm. Because she, like, no one else can see it, but she's reacting to it. And we knew that nobody else is there. I actually thought her in that, like, opening scene, that's actually, I wish, how she was as the Dark One. Mm-hmm. She looks crazed. She's still got the white cloak on, but she's just, like, she's kind of losing her mind.
Uh-huh.
Her in Camelot is actually more interesting because she looks like somebody who is just losing their shit.
Yeah. And then Henry and Hook take her to a place.
This was the best scene of the entire episode. By far.
It's so good. Like, the girl shows up and Hook, it's so great. And, like, Emma and Hook, like, watching them, like, from behind.
Emma and Hook have become the Charmings. And then Emma and Hook go on their
date. Oh my god, they totally have.
And the best part is that Henry's like, well, there's this girl. And the smile on Hook's face. Is there indeed? Like, he looks like a proud papa. He's so, and then the best part is that he is so happy, and Emma is just like, what? Like, she actually kind of channels a little Regina there, but she's just like, I don't approve of this.
I also like the follow-up conversation after Henry and Violet leave. Emma's like, he straight up lied to my face, and I'm the Dark One. And Hook is like, yeah, and you're his mother. And Emma's like, what's scarier? And Hook's like, to him?
Honestly, I don't think he's scared of either.
Yeah.
But sure. When you grow up with Regina as your mother. Yeah, that whole exchange was just top tier.
Okay. Real top question.
Yeah.
Do you think that this is the first time that Hook and Emma bang?
What?
In the meadow.
I don't think they had sex there.
I definitely think that's
it. You take things way further than I think the show wants you to take things. Do not in any way, shape, or form that's what that
was. So you think they have not had sex?
I don't know that that is necessarily true. I don't think that moment was to imply that. I think that moment was to imply that, like, the voices...
Hook's eyebrows say differently.
I don't know how to read eyebrows into sex, much like tarot cards. I don't have that skill. Yeah, no, I don't think that's what that scene was implying. But I think Emma's the type that is more likely to have sex than have a real emotional conversation. So they probably slept together. But they probably not had, like, an actual relationship conversation.
That seems okay.
Based on what I've seen from those two characters. But then again, I could also see Hook not wanting to because of how much of a marauding cur he was. He's like, no, I don't want to fuck this one up.
I don't think we... It's not a thing that we actually see, but it's, like, something that we hear him say, I think, in, like, maybe the next episode or a couple episodes. They sleep in the same room.
Oh, do they?
After this episode, at least, they are sleeping in the same room. Except Emma's not sleeping.
In the past?
In 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Though,
I could also see... So, one thing that we do know about Emma is that when her emotions are out of control, her magic can go out of control.
Mm-hmm.
So, that could be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I want a heightened, uncontrolled dark one to be experiencing.
Although theoretically, she figured that out at the end of season.
Sure, before she became the dark.
Yeah.
These are new powers that she hasn't mastered yet. There could be some. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else before we talk about the small story bit?
I really liked Hook taking her for a ride to, like, clear her head.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a good way to solve, it's not a real problem because, like, magic doesn't exist, but, like, for someone who has battled demons, he's like, sometimes you just need to clear your head. I get now why he likes the sea. It is mm-hmm. basically a place for him to just unwind and meditate, and he's using a horseback ride to do the same thing. And I think the point he makes to Emma is, it's not about Rumple. I need you to trust me that I know what I'm doing to come. Uh-huh. It's like, he's really good. He knows her very, very mm-hmm. well. He's always known her very, very well. He's actually really good in this episode.
He is. We get a little, really small Storybrooke snippet. One interesting line from Rumple. Emma's got him tied up in her weird dungeon in her house. He says, I remember how the darkness feels, but you don't have to give in to it. You could just set me free. Which... is so fascinating because Rumple never would have done that.
No, but Belle would have.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he's, like, remembering, is that, like, you can do the right thing.
Yeah.
No, that's fair. I mean, he's let people go before.
Yeah, yes, but, like, and I don't think that he quite knows exactly what she wants, but he would, if letting him go meant that Emma couldn't get what she wanted, he would never.
No.
Never.
I don't know. We haven't seen this yet, but, like, there is an instance of Rumple showing mercy purely because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with helping him at all. He just believes it's the right thing to do. Yeah, no, I mean, but, yeah, he was willing to do whatever it took to accomplish his goal, so, like, he knows that she's gonna let him go. He's not very good at this scene.
No. No, she is not. And then we find out that she brought Merida here, which I feel like it was meant to be this, like, big reveal. And, like, I like Merida. Like, I'm just happy to see more Merida. But I was like, this is not, like, a big reveal.
When they even do that with Lancelot, they have her standing in the shadows in the jail cell. And I'm like, we all know who this is. The voice is a dead giveaway. Stop doing this, like, big dramatic, you know, like, when Cora stepped out of the shadows, you were like, what the fuck, Cora's here. Like, I know it's Merida. Like,
yeah.
Literally, I know it's Merida.
Yeah. So I guess I'm excited to see more Merida. I'm not quite sure how she's gonna make Rumple break.
What? No room! No room for Emma! No room!
No.
Look, I feel like, and maybe I'm gonna say this the entire season, I like a lot of this, then we get to Emma. And actually, I didn't even mind Emma from 6 weeks ago. I thought that was a good use of Emma. Just dark Emma sucked ass.
She's really bad.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else before we get to favorite moment?
I'm curious to see the rivalry because Merida says any enemy of King Arthur is a friend of mine, and I don't know of a connection between those two. So that's a very fast twist.
Yeah, how did she get in his dungeon? How'd she get there?
She
was going to save her brother.
I know. So, like, are they, is this, like, an overlapping story? Yeah, that's probably, like, my last thing I'd say. Let me make sure we hit all the points. Yeah. Too much.
Yeah, too much time, dummy, for sure. And it was just incredibly hard to talk about. Are you talking about Camelot of the past 6 weeks ago, or Camelot of the past, like, 20 years ago, or Camelot of the past, like, 30 years ago? Which one do you think?
Or Storybrooke of the present, or Storybrooke of 6 weeks ago, or...
Yeah. All right, I got three favorite moments.
I got two.
Okay. My first one is Regina.
Oh, I have three. I take it back.
Regina watching them argue and then just pooping away.
I have Regina poofs away with, like, the, have fun. Yep, nope, that's one of mine.
It's a good one.
The entire Henry book conversation.
I have that one too, but specifically...
Is there indeed eyebrows?
And his eyebrow work and smile throughout this entire scene is incredible.
Because he looks so genuinely happy.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, it's like, what do you say, like the first true crush. And, like, he's just like, aw, he's a boy becoming a man. And like, I actually think Hook and Emma play off each other very well here, because she's just like David. Overprotective parent who's like, I don't like any of this. And he's like, this is so bad. She's the snow and she's the David.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
My last one is when Lancelot and Snow are in the jungle room. And Arthur comes through and they, like, have a conversation. And Snow goes, you followed us, so I was right. And the way that she says it, like, she's, like, at sword point. And she's like, I was right. I won this argument.
Anyone who is married can tell you, at gunpoint. There is nothing greater and more important than proving to your spouse that I was right. You might be about to die, but the last words you will ever hear was, I told you so.
Yeah.
The Charmings resolved a real fight with a hell of a plan.
Yeah, they did.
You just got to respect that. That's good. Pretty awesome.
It was really good. Most ridiculous moment. There were a lot, but I just chose one.
I also only chose one.
The timeline of this episode.
That was a good one.
Specifically...
jumping.
I do not believe that Camelot was part of the curse that Hook and Porra got trapped in. And for some reason, 5 years ago, Rumpelstiltskin was in the jungle room to protect his dagger. What?
I don't know.
But also simultaneously, that was like 30 years ago, because it was before Belle gets kidnapped by the Queens of Darkness.
I guess if time froze... So, like, the time that happened in Storybrooke never happened in the Enchanted Forest, because it all just froze. I don't know. You're right. It's just...
Absurd. I just... No.
A tree talked to a boy about a prophecy.
Yeah.
So, like, Rumpel absorbed his son. It's that level of just, like, what?
And Guinevere just, like, believes him. Like, child Guinevere.
Yeah. Is she in love with him at that point?
Yeah. Like, at that point, he's already saying, like, weird... You'll be my queen.
I know. It's just so weird how, like, they're just, like,
yeah.
10 years old, and they're like, yep, we're together for the rest of our life.
And, like, I do understand believing it when you see him come back with the sword.
Oh, sure.
But I'm like, okay. Yeah. Maybe she's just humoring him. I don't know.
Yeah, like, it's weird that, like, and she's already just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be cute. Your queen.
You have beautiful eyes, sure.
He does have pretty eyes.
He does.
Yeah. But a tree talked to a boy about a prophet. I just can't.
Loser. I have three.
I have, so I was going to put two in here, but then I was like, but they kind of won and they kind of lost, so I just put them in neutral. Lancelot. Big L. Big L.
Yeah, that's a good one. I didn't put Lancelot because I thought there was a bigger L, but yep. Lancelot. That's a good one.
Who was yours?
I have Guinevere.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that one.
Yeah, she gives her husband an ultimatum, and he does not choose her.
Nope.
Uses a spell to trick her into loving him.
He gives an ultimatum and then makes her choose him at his quest.
That's bad.
I'm gonna add her. That's bad. Merida?
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, how'd she... Yeah, this is not good. This
Both rounds, bad. It's bad for you. You're either trapped in a dungeon or your heart's been taken by the Dark Swan.
Yep.
So, yep.
I also have Snow and Charming.
I took them out of there. I
didn't choose them because, like, their plan was really good, but then at the end they totally fucked up and now they're gonna give the dagger to Arthur, and that's really bad.
I put them in neutral. They won the entire episode and then lost at the end, so I was like, I'm just gonna I'll just call that a wash for them. That's it for me. For
okay, yeah, that's me too. I have one runner-up and one winner.
I also have one runner-up.
My runner-up is Hook.
I also have Hook as a runner-up.
He was great in this episode, and I think he got to bang in that meadow.
Nah. You think that's... But that just seems unlike Emma. Like, Hook, I could buy
it. I don't know. She makes a suggestion about them being alone, and then he eyebrow raises.
Yeah, exactly. But I hear you. Your mother is probably the same as mine.
Arthur.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
For no real reason of his own doing.
Unless he thought that they were trying to trick him the whole time, but we agree that he was genuinely calling to Emma.
Odd enough, Guinevere, I think the only thing that he wins for is that when he tricked Guinevere, that basically saved him in the present. Like, his actions of the past, but she's always going to fix his thing.
But he's in a good situation right now. Oh, like, yeah. He's going to get that dagger. He's going
to
get it.
Well, he has it, doesn't he?
Did they give it to
him? No, they don't have it. He's going to get it.
Regina still has it. Yeah. So maybe Regina will not give it to the Charmings, but I don't know.
If there's a criticism I have of this episode, not nearly enough Regina.
Yes, not nearly enough Regina. The next episode is Dreamcatcher, and I believe there is more Regina.
One other thing we didn't touch on real quick, I really enjoy the Dark One mind games with Emma.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at the very beginning, where he's just like, because it's almost like you actually get to hear the rationalization that I'm pretty sure Rumple goes through when he's like, oh, well, it's a spell, just destroy it. Like, he's literally just walking her through all the evil things to do, and it's like, but it's yours. You call into your other half, and it's like, it's always fun to kind of hear the really bad thing explained out, and she's like, go away, leave me alone, stop, and it's just like, but the darkness just doesn't care. It just keeps hitting you and hitting you and hitting you.
I hope that we get, I mean, I guess she does have a conversation with Rumpelstiltskin the human. But I hope that we get more conversations about that. Because I think that it's very easy for Emma to be like, just resist the darkness. And he's like, you don't understand. And now she does.
Yeah. Yeah, what's interesting is that I feel like this show has always positioned it like, oh, Rumple, you're so weak for not resisting the darkness and the temptation. Like, be a better man. And then we see Emma, and it's like, yeah, that's not as easy as it sounds.
Especially when you think about it, like, in terms of degrees, because like, the more you do it, the more you rationalize that doing it is good, and like, doing a small thing, like, or doing a thing that's good with your power, like, that's easy, like, sure, but then like, you build on it and you're like, well, I need to kill this person so that I can do the thing that I need to do, and that's okay.
But the way that Emma gets to, kind of going back to the first episode, I don't want to kill this girl, but I need that wisp, and I need to be able to do this, and if the only way I can do that is kill this girl, then killing this girl is right. You see her make the, like, logically. Yeah, I actually, my, like, number one question is, who the fuck is Rumple's boy? I honestly feel like it'd be really fucked up if it was Mila.
Like, I mean, the assumption is that it would be a previous Dark One.
I don't know. Maybe it's just the thing that you look at, like, Emma looks at Rumple as evil. Like, what is Rumple pretend is evil? It could be a previous Dark One. I can't imagine Zozo being the thing in Rumple's head, though.
Maybe his is the boar that breathes fire. There's no speaking. He just breathes fire, and Rumple's like, cool, I'm just going to kill people.
It's also possible that no one else has one because she's the only one to have acquired it via this way. She didn't kill someone.
That's true.
She got it, like, she absorbed it. So maybe.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, so next week, we are going to watch episode 5, Dreamcatcher. We already talked about some of the things we're looking forward to. I'm curious what the hell Merida's going to do to make Rumple brave. Is Guinevere and or the Charmings going to wake up from this curse that they're under? Like, I have to presume that the Charmings will.
The framing of Rumple needing to be brave is interesting to me because I think you and I agree that, like, the most brave thing he ever did was when he was alive and broke his knee. Mm-hmm. He sacrificed his marriage, he sacrificed his reputation to not abandon his son, ironically, later. So, like, we know that Rumple already has that capacity to do so. It was just once he took darkness, he kind of fell into it. Like, why can't he just do it now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, the blank slate, they talked about that with babies, but like, it is very strange to me. But you have to, like, it's not just about not being evil, you have to, like, prove yourself to be good.
Yeah. So he needs to, like, do one brave act before he does anything else so that his heart is, like, pure, I guess.
Which, that, also, I don't get that, like, that wouldn't be that hard to do. I'm putting Belle in danger, go save her. You know damn well he would do it.
Yeah. Well, and it is interesting, too, that we're, like, his heart is a blank slate, but from what we've heard him say, he sounds like the coward that we know.
100%.
So, like, has that already gotten in there? Like, where's that coming from?
I don't know, because what's funny is that, like, he's not being cowardly when he says, just let me go. Because he can't win this fight. He needs to basically talk her down.
Yeah.
And, like, the thing that we call him a coward for is the thing that we agree was the most brave thing he ever did in his lifetime, of not being the Dark One. So, what is it that he exactly needs to do to prove brave again? Can we just use Henry?
Yeah, good question.
I need more Henry.
We did also get a day's ride from here.
Again.
The dagger was a day's ride away. The vault. Dark One's vault was a day's ride away from Camelot.
Back-to-back day's rides, and I think this might be the third one of the season, maybe?
It is not.
Oh. There's four, we got one in, like, the early episode. Yeah, this is the season I think day's ride gets just spanked.
Yeah. Well... Please be sure to join us next time when we watch season 5, episode 5, Dreamcatcher.
See you next time.